emphatically urging someone to do something, maybe we'll learn something else today. So now the scripture reading, please, from Bailey, 2 Timothy.
Today's scripture is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, and it reads, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim this message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober. Endure suffering, do the work of any evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. Have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept from faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord."
Good morning. On this wonderful day, I continue my sermon series on the gifts of the Spirit. If you remember, the gifts are the spirits of prophecy, of teaching, of serving, of exhortation, of giving, of leadership, and mercy. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to explore and exercise our spiritual gifts. So it's wonderful that as a congregation for the past few weeks and in the upcoming weeks, we are going to explore these different spiritual gifts to help identify which one that we have been given by God, whether it's one or two or many, and to know how we can use these gifts to fulfill God's call for us to expand the mission of the church. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words. May they reflect your truth, that you know the thoughts that we have on our hearts. For you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So a short recap. We so far have talked about three spiritual gifts: the gift of prophecy, the gift of service or helping, and the gift of teaching. If you remember, the gift of prophecy is being able to proclaim the word of God boldly, to help build up the body and talk about the conviction of sin and the receiving of salvation and grace. We know that prophecy often manifests itself in teaching and in preaching. We also learned about the gift of service. People with this gift, they know the practical needs of the church and of the world. They seek to help resolve these needs. They look at not just short-term, but long-term ways that they can help the church and the world. And they often don't mind being behind-the-scenes persons. They help lead things in service. There's also the wonderful gift of teaching. We have many teachers in this congregation who teach our children, but we also have many teachers who are laypersons who help teach classes, who help teach Bible study, who use the gift of teaching in so many ways about sharing God's word. This is a wonderful way that we can be part of helping the congregation if you are a teacher who uses the gift. And this morning we look at the gift of exhortation. It's a long word, it's sometimes a confusing word, and if you wonder what the definition is, you say, well, if you're an exhortation, you're someone who exhorts, or you're an exhorter. But really, what truly does that mean? Basically, it means you are an encourager. Someone who has the gift of exhortation is someone who encourages, who helps lift up the body, who helps unite the body to do the work of God. I think we have many people in our congregations who have the gift of exhortation. But first, if you remember 2 weeks ago, and last week we talked about this, you received a worksheet of spiritual practices. And the four practices were to 1, pray daily, or 2, read the Bible, or 3, serve or help someone, or 4, connect with other Christians. And 2 weeks ago, you were challenged to do one of those four things. Most of you fell into the category of the first two. Many of you prayed daily, and many of you read the Bible daily. It was a wonderful spiritual discipline, and I'm glad many of you participated in. And then last week, I challenged you not to just pray daily, and I challenged you not just to read the Bible daily, but also to do one of the other two, to help serve someone, or to connect with another Christian. if you helped serve someone, then you might be using the spiritual gifts of service, of giving, or of mercy. Or if you instead chose to connect with another Christian, you were using the spiritual gifts of prophecy, of teaching, of leadership, or exhortation. And this morning, we're going to look specifically at that gift of exhortation. If you remember the gift of exhortation, the person who encourages, are people who have this gift encourage members to be involved. They are very enthusiastic about the work of the Lord. Members with this gift are good counselors, they're good motivators, they help people see the wonderful ways that there are to serve the Lord. This is the gift of encouragement. And this morning's passage from 2 Timothy is a great sort of letter of encouragement, if you think about it. We know that the books of Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, were written most likely by Paul. There is some debate on that. But they say that Paul wrote this letter to a young colleague, a delegate, they say, named Timothy. And Timothy was specifically working in Ephesus. And Ephesus was a great city where many new disciples were being formed, but he needed encouragement. And he received encouragement from the letters to Timothy from Paul. We know that these exhortations talked about ways that the church could be organized, about the way Timothy could be a leader for the church, about how you can remain faithful, maintaining the truth of God. So in a way, then the second book of Timothy and the first book of Timothy, they call it an exhortation of faithfulness. So if you think you might have the spiritual gift of exhortation, think about yourself then as an encourager of faithfulness. What a wonderful title to be able to say. If someone came up to you on the street or a friend of yours or family member said, well, what is your role in the church? How awesome would it be to say, I'm an encourager of faithfulness. God has given me the spiritual gift of exhortation, and I use that gift as an encourager of faithfulness. So you might then wonder, well, okay, then what does an encourager of faithfulness do? If I were to have a job description or if I came to the church and said, yes, I want to be this exhortation gift, use this gift of exhortation, I want to be an encourager of faithfulness, what would I do? We see in this morning's passage from 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 8, descriptions of how someone can be an encourager. There's actually four things that are listed in this morning's passage. The first three are to proclaim the message, to be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Third, to convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. And we'll get to the fourth later. But let's look first at these three things that Paul talks about in his letter to Timothy. First, as an encourager, you proclaim the message. First and foremost, you must know the message, the wonderful gift of God's salvation made available for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. To know the scripture, to know the holy word of God in the Bible, and to be able to proclaim that message, to be bold in your proclamation. So you might be using a little bit of that gift of prophecy as well. If you don't know the message, your own faith story as well, and how you are connected and what your relationship to God is like, then how can you encourage others in their faith story? How can you encourage others to connect more closely with God if you don't know how you connect with God? How can you encourage people to know the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God? And how can you tell people about the good news to share the gospel if you don't know the message first and foremost? That is the very first job description requirement if you are an encourager of faith. You must know the message and proclaim the message, as Paul reminds Timothy in this morning's passage from 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Second, you must also be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. To be persistent in your faith, to be persistent in encouraging others to know their faith, to be persistent in the church. We recognize that our time is maybe becoming more unfavorable. The author Diana Butler Blass has a book, and she talks about how people are becoming more spiritual but less religious. We seem to be in a time where less people attend Sunday worship service and are attending other things instead. They attend sports games. I have a group of friends who are always inviting me to different food truck rallies, but they happen on Sunday mornings. And as much as I love food trucks, and Phil knows about my love for food trucks, we try to find different ones, I can't miss church on a Sunday morning. I wouldn't miss church on a Sunday morning. even though it's tempting to go to the Rose Bowl and have 100 food trucks available, right? People have become more spiritual and less religious. They have strayed away from the organized church. They have lost a connection to fellowship, to the way God is present and the movement of the Holy Spirit. So we might say that, yes, our times have become unfavorable. So then it is even more important for you as the exhorter, the person using their gift of exhortation, to be the encourager of faithfulness, to know that even in these unfavorable times, you must be persistent. To always be persistent, to proclaim the message and be persistent in that proclamation. And then you can go on to the third step as an exhorter. To be able to convince, to be able to rebuke, to be able to encourage with the utmost patience in the teachings. How wonderful it is if you have that gift of exhortation to be able to convince people about the love of God, to be able to rebuke people when they deny you or try to challenge you, and also, of course, always to be able to encourage people, to be an encourager of faithfulness, to continue to do that work. And then you wonder, well, then why? Why is it so important to be an encourager of faithfulness? Isn't it simple enough that we can gather and sing these wonderful praise songs that Gaius led us in this morning, or have a time of wonderful VBS where children come and gather and learn Bible stories? Isn't that enough? Why do we need encouragement? We are all faithful Christians. You all attend Sunday worship, and you all attend most of you Sunday school or Bible study or our fellowship small groups. Why do we need encouragers then in the congregation? It is so important to have encouragers, and we continue to look at this morning's passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we see in verse 3 some reasons that Paul is starting to give in about why it is so important to have encouragers in the church. For in this morning, his passage says, "For the time is coming when people will not put up with the sound doctrine, but have itching ears." What a wonderful visual example, itching ears. "They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to these myths." Paul reminds for you to always be sober, to endure suffering, to do the work of an evangelist, to carry out the ministry fully. We need encouragers in the church because there have been times both in the past with Paul, the early disciples, the new church as it was beginning, and even now today, where people are not putting up with the sound doctrine. They're ignoring the word of God. It used to be that the Bible was the best seller in the world. You would look on Amazon or you look at other sites and you'd go to bookstores and there would be Bibles always present. But now, of course, there are less bookstores, but if you were to go into a Target or a Walmart, and if you were to ask a clerk in the magazine and book section, are they selling a Bible, the sad answer is most likely not, or the clerk would not be able to locate where the Bible is. Stores are not selling the Bible, people are not reading the Bible, people aren't believing in the doctrine, they're not knowing what the special words of God are, or the traditions of the church as well. They are having what Paul says is itchy ears. They will then accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. Instead of following God, they begin to follow cable TV shows. They begin to follow celebrities and superstars. They begin to follow even athletes. You know, many people follow Twitter, and on Twitter, if you were to ask people, who do you follow? They probably don't follow ministers. They probably don't follow theologians. They don't follow authors who talk about God and theology and faith or spiritual leaders. Instead, they follow the TV stars, the music stars, the athletes who become famous. People are following different things to suit their own desires, and they're turning away from the truth and going towards myth. But if you are an encourager, the exhorter to use as your gift, you instead help people come back to the church. You instead help people turn away from those myths, but turn towards God instead. These are so important for you to do as you proclaim the message, as you are persistent even in unfavorable times, and as you help convince, rebuke, and encourage people with patience in teaching. And then you are ready for this wonderful thing that we hear in the closing verses of this morning's passage from verse 6 on. We hear another job description of the encourager. For Paul says, "As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation." Paul knows the end time of his ministry is near. He is already being poured out as a libation, as a drink that can be easily poured and drunk and consumed and forgotten about. Paul says that the time of my departure, it is coming. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul is reminding Timothy that his time is near, but he is also giving Timothy the reminder that now it is Timothy's job to continue the ministry and the work of the church. Timothy must also long for the wonderful appearance of the Lord, and Timothy must also continue the ministry. That is the fourth step that an exhorter, an encourager of faithfulness does. They encourage. They proclaim the message, they're persistent, they encourage, convince, and rebuke. But the fourth and final thing is that they then identify other leaders, other people who can be encouragers, persons who can help continue the ministry as well. If you are a person who, as an encourager of faith, you must remember to do all these things, but also, most importantly, remember that you are not alone. I have a friend who often says, I am a great encourager. She's a wonderful mom of four. She goes to her kids' soccer games and encourages them. She helps them with their homework and celebrates when they do well on tests. She helps her husband with his job and is excited when he gets promotions. She's always encouraging her family and her friends and does much for her church as well. But she asked a question one day that I thought was a really good question. Who encourages the encourager? Have you ever thought about that? Parents, you know you do all you do for your children, but who encourages you? Or teachers who are beginning the school year, you do so much as you prepare for the children in your classes and you work with the other staff members, but who encourages you as a teacher? And also individuals who are so faithful, sons and daughters who help their parents out, who encourages you? As a pastor, I'm lucky to be an encourager, but also to receive encouraging words and support from you, the individual members of the congregation. But when we ask the question, who then encourages the encourager, our answer is and always must be that God encourages the encourager. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the person who encourages us in our faith journey. Whether you do have the gift of exhortation or any of the other gifts, remember that you are always encouraged by God first and foremost. We remember the words in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 6, that reminds us the words of Christ who also said these things. In Romans, Paul says, we who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purposes of building up the neighbor. Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the insults of those who you insult have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. In Christ's words are, may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, according to him, Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God's steadfastness and encouragement grants us ways that we can be in harmony with each other and to fulfill the call and mission. I want to show with you, in honor of the celebration of the Olympics that have happened, one of the stories. I think I shared it a couple of summer ago, maybe in 2012 at the last Olympics. But it's a wonderful story about the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, and there was a runner named Derek Redmond from Great Britain. He was set to win the 400-meter dash. He had already won the World Games. All eyes were on him at this Barcelona Olympic track. But let's see what happened as he was running the race and how a surprise encourager helped him with this race. Maybe we could turn off the back lights, and then we'll have Jacob play the video.
I know you can make it good.
Think, well, this wonderful gift of exhortation sounds so great and awesome, but I don't think I have those qualities. Maybe I fit one or two or three of the steps, but not all four, and I'm not sure if I can be the encourager of the church. I'm not qualified. But I love this video, how it shows the runner, Derek Redmond, and how he was running this race, and when he fell and when he faltered and had that horrible hamstring pull and wasn't able to continue the race. Who was it that became their encourager? It wasn't his coach, who might have been in the more prophetic or teacher role. It wasn't the judges of the Olympic competition. It wasn't the trainers or the doctors that were able to help him finish the race and encourage him to go on when needed. It was his father. They say that his father jumped from his rows of seats in the stands, went all the way down to the track. They say his father went through barriers. They say his father pushed past through security. They say his father ran past other runners to be able to be by his son's side. And when he told his son, "You don't have to do this," as in finish the race, and his son said, "Yes, I do," his father then said, "Well, we're going to finish this race together." And he helped his son go through the finish line of the race, so his son finished the race. His father was the encourager, maybe the unexpected person, not the one you would think would be the encourager, but his father became the encourager for the son. We can be encouragers for each other, and if you have that gift of exhortation, you can be the great encourager for the church, to encourage your fellow church members to get closer to God, to encourage family and friends who do not yet know the love of Christ by sharing your own faith story, by proclaiming the word to them. And even a simple thing of encouraging the stranger that you see on the street, or a homeless person, or a person in the supermarket that needs help. All these acts that you can do as their encourager. For remember the words of Paul, who says in Timothy in this morning's passage, Paul says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." You, if you have the gift of encouraging, a gift of exhortation, the encourager of faithfulness, must be able to say that you have fought the good fight, that you have finished the race, and that you have kept the faith. For when you are able to do that, then you can proclaim God's message, you can be persistent in unfavorable times, you can always convince, rebuke, and encourage others, and you must help others be encouragers as well. These are the items, the actions that you do when you have the gift of exhortation. So I hope you think about if you have this gift of exhortation, or you might have the gift of prophecy, of service, helping, or of teaching, as we had talked in the past. And we will look at the other gifts in the next weeks ahead as well. And the wonderful thing is, once you recognize these gifts and become more familiar with this, you might then look at ways that these gifts are present in other church members, the way these gifts are present in people of the Bible. They sometimes say, well, Jesus chose 12 disciples, apostles, to work with him. Which gift did the different disciple have? Which gifts did they use? And what gifts did Paul have? And what gifts did he use? And Timothy and others, and Titus and others that Paul wrote to. All the beginning people who founded the church, we have a legacy that we must continue as current Christians to use these gifts just as Paul and the first apostles and the first leaders of the church used, so that we can remember Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us, just as we will remember Jesus Christ as we take communion together, his sacrifice for us. We must also do this remembrance by honoring him, by recognizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we have been given, and to use these gifts because they have been given to us by God so that we can fulfill the mission of his church. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for your presence in our lives, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us by his blood, and for the Holy Spirit who sustains us. And from the Holy Spirit we receive these gifts of prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. Help us, Lord, to identify which gift is present in us, the gift that you have given us, so that we can do your ministry, so that we can follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus Christ, and love the world just as you love us. Amen.